Blog Talk Radio.
And you are listening to the Truth to Power Show. My name is Beverly Dee. And tonight we have Sister Seta Aset, and she has her auto books, a series of them, and it's The Chemistry. And tonight she is going to be reading from her book, War. Greetings, Sister Seta. How are you doing this evening?
Greetings, Sister Beverly. How are you?
Great, great, great.
Good.
So tell the people.
I was,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just wanted you to tell the people about your books, about you, for people that's hearing you for the first time.
Okay, we can do that. First of all, I want to do this disclaimer. These novels are for entertainment purposes only. Some of the facts in the novels are facts, and you can go on to and you can go in and Google them and check them out. And then there's a lot of things that I have written around the facts, and of course you'll know, you will be able to distinguish what's real and from the matrix. Okay, so that's what we're living in right now. But we have five novels. We have Bright Light. The second novel is Gathering of the Vanguard, which we just recently read all the way through. Right now we're on The War. The fourth book is 9X, and that's pretty exciting right there. You know, evil has its own backstory. And the last novel is In the Realm of the Gods.
And are you working on a new book?
Actually, I'm glad you said that. I am working on a new book. It's called Chemistry, Area 51. And my dedication in that novel is to the Honorable Dr. Delbert Blair.
Okay. And when do you
and I'm also
see
working
that
on
coming
the,
out?
We see that one coming out late summer, which we are already in early spring right now. But we'll have that out late summer.
Okay. All right. We're looking forward to it. Now, where can the people get your book?
You can go to my website, which is chemistryfiles.com. That's chemistry with the K, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y-files.com. You can go there and you can check them out, and you can order them there as well as Amazon. I have a link to Amazon there. You can get them in the paperback, or you can get them in Kindle. And I also have another website called Gumroad, G-U-M-R-O-A-D, gumroad.com. You can go there and you can download or stream Bright Light there. I have, as of yet, not been able to put the other novels up on Gumroad. We're working on that now, but soon the other four will be there as well that you can stream and upload off Gumroad.com.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And is it a way that they can get an autographed copy of your book?
Yes, yes. You can go to the website, drop me some email there. I think it's the last page on the back of on the website, and there's an application there where you just email me your address and tell me everything that you need that I'm going to need to send it back to you, and we can go from there, and I will send you an autographed copy direct from me.
Okay, all righty. Now, kind of give us an update on where we left off at.
Okay, as I stated before, we just recently did Gathering of the Vanguard. That was pretty exciting. We're getting on up to the action stuff. So right now we're in the war. Things couldn't be settled in Gathering of the Vanguard. So, you know, Femi has to take another step with these people, some of the people like we're dealing with today. So right now they're in the war. So she just, they were about to leave the planet, and the creators pulled her back. She put everybody down. She didn't kill them, just kind of put them to sleep there. But she was pulled back from the creators, and they said, well, come on, we're going to give them another chance just to see how they're going to do. We'll give them a second chance till they know what they're up against, you know, these evil things going on running around here. So they know what they're up against, so we're going to give them another chance, see what happens. So she has to raise everybody back up, you know, so that they can try this again. And and that's where we are right now.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And what chapter is this that you're on?
Okay, right now we're on part 73. And what this is, people, this is a countdown. We started at part 100, and we're counting down to zero. But right now we're on part 73, and the title of that part is The Instruction.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are ready to get into the instruction.
Okay. And let me go back, because I think I kind of screwed my page up right here. Go down. I pulled myself back up to this part 74, the organization. We went through that. Yeah, they kind of found out some things in that one. And the president and the president of Africa wasn't too happy about that. So they made it back on Air Force One. And so we're going to start there.
Okay,
here we go. Part 73, the instruction. As the party left the camp, the people raised their hands goodbye, knowing that Femi and Zuri and the 600 that accompanied them were going into certain battle, for they knew this was the instruction of the creators. Even with all the power they willed, the two would have to prove physically to the disagreeable that they will have to conform to the Ma'at. They loaded themselves in the vehicles that were parked outside the camp and drove nonstop to the airport. Once at the airport, they saw the damage the people suffered while they were asleep. Looking around, they knew it would be impossible to physically take a flight out of the country. Femi instructed the group to gather around her and be mindful to do what they had to do. Now, this group that's gathering around her, you know, they are the eye watchers. They were they volunteered to look after certain countries while all this is going on. So I just wanted everybody to know that.
Okay.
Sisters and brothers, we must all put our 9 etheric bodies, transform out of the physical and into the metaphysical. We must fly as high as the phoenix. With precision, we must take ourselves to the continent of North Amexum, so that we may institute the Creator's bidding. There was so much activity around the grounds of the airport that it was nearly impossible to find a private area where they could make the transformation. After an intensive search for the perfect spot of seclusion, they came across an area where they could make the transformation discreetly. No one noticed with the melee taking place of a normal, regular, routine evening. So no one noticed what they were doing. You know, they couldn't let anybody see them change themselves. It was then they each transformed into beautiful, huge, majestic black phoenixes that soared super high above the airport into the clouds and out of sight. With the energy of the setting sun riding high with them, they arrived in the state of Mississippi, Greenville to be exact. No one there saw these global travelers land in the rear of the strip mall. They were too busy cleaning up the decrepit area. The entire town was busily working to set things back to normal as possible. Even the jail system and the prison population had to be freed to join in the rearrangement of the old antebellum city. This is where we will begin, where our ancestors planted the mounds and the underground pyramids that the Tamahu has yet to find. He says that he discovered everything, but we had already been here. They say that they discovered what we have always known, but they are late. Brother Miso, take your family of eye watchers and begin your journey to Mexico and South Amexum. Some of our people who decided to stay behind with their families will continue to take up the call. They will assist you in whatever you need to set up your situation, your station, and wait for my instruction, said Femi. Zuri added, number one, art form. Take your group to Louisiana. Iniki, you go to Jamaica. Number two, Chinga, take your group to Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Number three, Saffron, you have the San Juan and Virgin Island areas. Number four, Matume, Barbados, and the St. Kitts areas are yours. Keep a check on St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Southern Barbados, and Opapano. Grenada, Trinidad, and Tobago needs your group to watch over them. Number five, Tribeca. You and Wudong take the 166 with you to southern China, India, and the entire East to Iran and Afghanistan. They are having irascible problems over there, but you know that Femi and I will be close by. And lastly, Africa. Your job is a big one, and I am counting on you to run it as smoothly as I would. If I was watching over the universes as the Creator does, you and 166 other eye watchers will be responsible for all of southern North Amexum, from southern Khalifa directly across to southern Caroline. This is done because the southernmost part of the continent is where we will be able to survive after the Quan, for after such a length of heat, there will be quadruples of cold weather if they do not comply. It's the biggest challenge of them all, but I chose you to lead. Zuri and I plan to depart shortly, but I will be back to close a book, said Femi. She further stated, we have to drive them to the north of what is called the Mason-Dixon line. This is where they seem most comfortable. We do not want to make it comfortable for them, but after all, what our people have gone through, our needs will be met first. They will work and toil for themselves while we do the same on our landmass. They express each other and every day that they want, they express to each other every day that they want to be separate. Then I will grant them their separation. If any of the melanated ones desire to mingle and make a life with the Tamahu, then they are welcome to do so. I have no reason to force any decisions on the creators. I have no reason to force any decisions the creators have made concerning man and his kind upon anyone. He has a need to force himself upon everything that he feels he can conquer, but that has to end. The Tamahu believes he is God, but we all know he has ripped up and stole our legacy, which is meant for us to resurrect and awaken the people with the true knowledge of who they are. They've already seen what we can do, and when they see what I am about to show them, without the power of guns, soldiers, poisons, and endless fiat, I am going to need you and all the Eye Watchers in place to handle the Sinister in his retaliation against us and the people. We are agents of the Most High overseeing what is about to unfold on the ones who side with the Draconians. The Tamahu, who are willingly being dragged by their coattails and orchestrating the Sinister's bidding, will voluntarily lay down the negative things they've done. If not, then I fear true annihilation will befall the entire planet. We are here to rectify and justly correct years and years of absolute chaos. It's over for them all. Now, family, let's get to work. After 9 days had passed, Femi was informed that the Eye Watchers were at their recommended ports waiting for her call. Once she was assured of this, she and Zuri called for a meeting in persona to all of the high-level leaders on the planet. And that is the end of part 73.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Now, they turned into the phoenix. It's like a big eagle bird, kind of put you in a mind of.
Yeah.
And so
yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this army.
Yeah, they couldn't.
This army, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they couldn't go by plane like normal people do, because when she had put everybody asleep, you know, when they woke up, everything was in disarray. The whole planet was like crazy. You know, with so much going on that, you know, airplanes were, you know, wasn't situated right. And even some of them had crashed. But, you know, that's how it goes. But it was a mess. It was a big mess. So they had to turn into condors to get to North America.
Now, is this army from Earth or somewhere else?
It's from Earth. It's from the ones that are awakened, that knows what's going on. They are part of the people that they were gathering up in Gathering of the Vanguard. Basically, that's what she was doing. She was gathering her vanguard, her soldiers, her people to get away from this place. But since they was not able to go, and the Creator said, well, let's give them a second chance, then they all had to stay. But in the meantime, she used them for her army, which she called the Eye Watchers.
Okay. And,
yeah, she didn't use everybody. It was just the strong awakened beings, the ones that were the strongest. She used them.
And they usually are the warriors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She used the warriors, the ones that, you know, we have some people, you know, that's just like ready to go. You know, we're ready to change things. We're ready to do this. Let's do this. And then we have some that are awakened, but they're not quite ready to fight. They're fighting, but not physically fighting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so what she, what?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what she did after she got that group together that took off and left Africa and came to North America, because you know this is where, you know, America is supposed to be what, the war country of the world or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
military country
mm-hmm.
of the world. You know,
right.
She had to come over here to get things straight. You know. To lay down the law, per se. And she picked out, her and Zuri picked out certain leaders that would be over a group of people to watch the lands, because they're looking for retaliation, you know, from
mm-hmm.
the Crown Cross and the Dracons. They're looking for retaliation from the president. So she had to get her army together to keep an eye on each of these areas, which is where most of our people are, most of the, you know, dark people are, the highly melanated people. And she feels in her heart that these are the people that they're going to come after first. I mean, you know,
right.
they, you know, in right now as we speak, they're after us. So this is what she's anticipating when all this is going down.
Now, someone in the chat room is asking, are they like a priest class?
You could say they're highly spiritual. They all are highly spiritual. I wouldn't say they were priests. They don't have, you know, most priests, I think, is, you know, they ain't right, you know. They don't have, I can't clearly say they're priests. They're not priests. They're highly spiritual. They're
mm-hmm.
very highly spiritual and soulful. Just put it like
okay.
that.
Because a lot of the priests, you know, they have powers, but it seems like that their powers here is more on a higher level than even the priests.
Exactly. And we're going to get into that because...
Mm-hmm.
The creators just didn't leave them, the Eye Watchers, as regular people. They're not regular. They
mm-hmm.
have, well, we'll get into it. It's in this
okay.
part. We're going to get into it because, it will, we'll find out how the Eye Watchers got their power.
Okay. Well, we could go to the next chapter.
Okay. Okay, part 72, Approaching the Harlot. Once the meeting was called, Femi knew the only way the leaders and the actual group who controlled the leaders was to get them to broadcast her message via worldwide, ensuring that all people were informed of what was at stake and in no way hide the truth from them. Because, you know, when she, when she laid them all asleep, and when the people rose up, when she rose the people back up and they was confused about what the world happened, and they were going to their priests, they was going to their preachers and Pope and, you know, and the senators and, you know, Congress, you know, they was asking them, what happened? What happened to us? And they knew, because the president, you know, informed his Congress people, you know, of what happened. But he told them to lie about it. You know, because in other words, he's saying people wouldn't understand about Femi and what was going on in these last days. You know, like today, if you were to tell somebody and they actually saw spaceships flying around here and they start to shooting and carrying on, you know, they wouldn't want to tell you. They wouldn't want to tell you the truth, you know. So basically, this is what's going on right now. Okay. So, yeah, so she's getting ready to meet with the leaders to let them know what's getting ready to go down. Okay. There was no need to address it. There was no need to address it from the United Nations, for she knew her message would not make it out of the oppressor's box. So she felt like if she did it there, the people wouldn't get the message. This is for the people. Before returning home, she informed Zuri that she was making an unscheduled trip to Bethesda, Maryland to seek Rupa Ocellus. You remember her, right? She was curious to see.
Who is she? Refresh our memory.
Okay, Rupa Ocellus is that scientist that figured out what Femi and her mother was on those spacecrafts. You know, the president sent her there.
Right. I remember her. Yeah.
Okay, she's going to see her. Okay, she was curious to see how she and her family were taking the event that shut down the world. They secured an old crew cab pickup truck with the necessary credentials simply because after the event, all roads were being inspected and searched thoroughly by the military, for now martial law was in full effect across the world. Driving in silence, Zuri noticed that many who were being stopped, stripped, and searched were of lower means regarding vehicle styles, no matter what your person perceived you to be. So therefore, no one was safe. If you were not an elite, you were going to be incorrectly handled with a heavy hand. Taking on the chameleon would be the probable way to make this trip less confrontational. So what they're saying there is, if you're not so well-to-do, not rich or whatever, you're going to be jerked around by the police. You're going to be basically, you know, fed to the dogs, or you know how they have the dogs out and the dogs barking and the nightsticks and whatever, you know, and they're being stopped and everything. Everybody's being checked. It's, you know, because it's martial law. And no matter where you go, it's going to be the police on your back. So this is what's taking place now. Femi, we are going to have to change who we are from this moment on until we reach our destination, said Zuri. Femi replied, there's no such thing as happiness in the world anymore, even before the sleep. This is all the human have ever known since they were brought into this wicked world that has always been run by the alien. But now, enough is enough, and if there's going to be any suffering going on, it will be done to the sinister. While speaking to Zuri, Both she and her king were in the process of administering the chameleon in them. Shortly, they were next in line to be questioned about what their destination was and who they were going to visit. So now, at this point, you have to have identification and all your papers in order for you to even travel to the next state. So this is how bad things were. Good evening, officer. My name is Chester Grant, and this is my wife, Shelley, said Zuri. Can I see your papers, please? Asked the military officer, stern and sure. Yes, sir, by all means, answered Zuri. Reaching into the glove compartment across the knees of his wife, the officer, raising his Beretta, exclaimed, Real slowly now. Yes, I understand. Slow. Zuri looked toward Femi cautiously, with somewhat a smile on his face, to contain his surprise. The officer would think he would challenge him in a shooting match. With armed forces everywhere you looked, and if he was an ordinary human, Zuri would be severely outnumbered and put down like a rabid dog immediately. Like those people that were water hose and everything going across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. This is kind of what it makes you think of. Here you are, officer. I do believe everything is in order. Oh, and I'm reaching into my front pocket for my driver's license. Real slow. With an angry look upon his face, the officer asked, Are you being funny, sir? Do you think this is a game? Do you know what happened a few days ago? Do you? He shouted. Yes, sir, I do. I didn't mean to make light of your job. I know we are in tough times now, and everyone is on edge. I guess I was wrong to bring comedy into the equation. I will never do that again, said an apologizing Zuri. Well, you better damn well make sure you don't. As he checked over his information and compared his picture to the license, he returned the papers back to him. And then suddenly, he was so jolted by Zuri's statement that he almost forgot to ask for Femi's identification. Ma'am, I need your ID, please. By all means, officer. Femi, already having it in her hand, gave it to Zuri to disperse to him. While he looked it over, he was too in some doubt about these two Tamahus that was much more calm and collected than anyone else who came through the checkpoint. He began to get suspicious and asked Zuri to pull to the side of the road. While pulling over, Zuri asked Femi, Wonder what this is all about. It's nothing. He just wants to show himself as a creature of authority and teach us a lesson in cow down etiquette. He approached the truck once again to acquire the registration and Zuri's license. Walking over to the makeshift command station, he continued to fumble through each one, making sure that when he made the call, all his questions were answered about the couple. All the while, both Femi and Zuri wondered what took him so long as they sat waiting for his return an hour or so ago. They knew he could not find anything, so to save his authoritative, narrow-minded nature, he settled for having them wait on him. I had questions, and I wanted to make sure your papers were in order. You can go now. With courtesy and a smile, Zuri thanked the officer and drove away. Nice name, Mr. Grant. Oh, and Shelley fits me perfectly. Quick thinking, said Femi. I knew we couldn't use our real names anymore. They are all over the place by now. Internet, newspapers, broadcasts, cartoons, international airwaves, lunch boxes, commercials, teleprompters, movies, outer space. We're everywhere. And I almost feel like a star in the worst way with these things after us, replied Femi. They were making jokes about it. I have a feeling that we won't have to wait very long for everything to resolve itself because they have no patience. They will destroy themselves, added Zuri. As they proceeded down the highway, the variety of vehicles abandoned on the roads were being scooped up and hauled away by huge machinery from the Army Corps of Engineers. In their company were the many men and women from the state and local prisons cleaning up the residue left from the citizens who abandoned them. This struck a nerve in Femi's heart to know that the sleep affected so many innocent humans who had no hand in what the sinister placed on them. Is that a tear I see, Femi? Not answering right away, she sniffled a bit, but processed the images in her mind of why humanity could not see what was indoctrinated in them. Why could they not see and feel what the enemy was programming in them? How could someone be so blind and not have a clue with a clue? Finally, she answered and said, what we did, I am hoping that humanity responds much more observant from the centuries of slumber placed on them by the aliens, that in the little time they had when they slept, they would fully awake. Handing her a tissue, Zuri responded by saying, once they can see and hear with eyes, not being influenced by any other transmission but ours, the Creator's intent will be done in a few years. The disagreeable will know without a doubt it's over. There will be many we can't save. Those are the ones I pray will see what's right in their face. Like the group back there who was cleaning up after the people had gone. Such a shame. Why foolishly do what doesn't work for you day after day? Misery certainly loves company. Femi sat reverently still until they reached Bethesda. Okay, Sister Beth. I believe that was part 72.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the people message? What's the message they're trying to get out?
They're trying to talk about the things that get the message out that we're getting out right now, you know, that we hear every day, you know, that, you know, about the Matrix and what's going on today, what we're talking mm-hmm. about today. That's what they're trying to get out to the people, to wake up. You know, the laws are not made for you. The laws have never been changed since the so-called slavery days. You know, like, you know, Martin Luther King says, there's one America and then there's another America. So we're still living in that other America. There was two Americas. So this is what they're trying to get the message out to the people, and the people still haven't woke up. Even with all this information out here, you still have some people, you know, praying to the white Jesus and all this kind of thing going on. So this is what they're trying to do, to let them know that, hey, there ain't no white Jesus.
Now, this sleep that they are in, this, you know, they didn't put themselves in this sleep. These aliens or whatever they are, are they the ones that put them in the sleep that they in, that they can't see what is really going on?
Excuse me. Exactly. Now, speaking about the world today, excuse me, just bear. We don't know. We know the Pope and the Queen, and you know we know all of that. You know, the Black Pope and all that. But do we know who's orchestrating their deals, telling them what to do?
That's it. Yes. The hidden hand. Yeah.
Yes. So that's why she keeps saying aliens.
Okay. So in order for them to be able to do what they do, I'm talking about like the president and all of that in the book, they had to put the people asleep so they wouldn't retaliate and so they can do what they need to do. So everybody on the planet is asleep or just certain areas?
Well, they're not physically asleep. Their brain is asleep.
Right.
They can't think.
Yeah.
The majority is that way, just like it is. Right, just like today. We're in a hypnosis today. Well, not me, but you know, as many of us still in hypnosis. So
right.
this is what's happening right here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, are you? We got plenty more time, so you can continue.
Okay, because I kind of chopped down the chapter some because they were really long.
I'm noticing that the other books, the chapters were longer, and these are shorter chapters here. Okay.
Yeah, and I really do like them this way, so we can really get this message out really quick.
Okay,
so now we're on part 71, Come With Me, and what I'll do is I'll kind of give a narrative, when we come to a point, to let everyone understand what I'm saying, kind of describe the moment. Okay. Part 71, Come With Me. And it's going to be some twists and turns in this, so listen closely. After driving for a long period of time and coming closer to northeastern Maryland, Zuri stopped the truck and exited out for a moment to stretch his limbs. Femi sat and watched him. This magnificently sensitive but strong-willed man, who is always cordial to everyone, stood in silence, looking toward the north with the cool breeze of the night upon his chiseled, smooth bronze, statuesque face. She quietly walked toward him, took his hand in hers, and asked, "What's on your mind?" "The fate of the planet and the humans it houses. I know you have seen the future, as I have, and it's not good. I'm not sorry for the evil that walks on the earth. What I am most sorry for are the people. What's going to become of them if most have not awakened? They all are going through some very hard times now, and it's going to get worse when we enact the daylight. I feel the evil is going to hold them hostage as long as you and I walk free." Femi replied, "Yes, they will, but it's up to the spirited fight of the people. If they are feeble enough to languish in the hell of the enemy, it is only then we can do so much to regenerate the fight within them. That's why I decided to divide up the people among the eye watchers to reach the sleeping, quote unquote, who I know will see with eyes bright in focus of the absurd and grotesque deception of the masses. After a moment of reflection of their conquest before the sleep, Femi turned to her king and held him close to her chest with arms flung about his neck. She kissed him softly and tenderly. This surprised him immensely. Passionately, he revered her kiss. He reverently kissed her lovingly, sweetly, totally. "Do you want me to drive the rest of the way?" After that kiss, "I don't think I can do much of anything but ride and look at you," he replied. "My senses are blurred." She smiled and kissed him again. So they were a couple. They were man and woman. Okay? He was a strong man. I just feel like our men today is getting the short end of the stick. And I know we've got men out there. And I feel like, Sister Bev, that they're putting them down, and I don't think that's fair. I don't. But
well,
anyway.
It's probably part of the warfare. You know, weaken the man. That's their biggest, you know, challenge. So that's what I think that they're doing, is they're weakening the man.
Right. But in the chemistry, these men in here are not weak. But,
okay.
But here we go. Taking the keys from his willing hand, she walked jovially back to the truck and started the engine. Zuri swung the right side door open and kindly got in. After driving a few additional hours after sunset, they finally entered the town of Bethesda. Population 66,988. Femi's main goal was to patiently seek for Rupa and her family. Because, you know, the last time she saw her, she said she couldn't stand for her family to be by themselves when all this is going to go down. So she went back home to her family. And she learned the ways of the Dogon because, you know, her and her great aunt and great uncle, they all learned. So Rupa knows some of this stuff too. Okay, this was her only goal, and she honed right in on her location. Charles County, La Plata Road, is where her melanin directed her, or her melanin. To their eyes, a house domicile was just that. But to the sleep, her home was more than just a dwelling. It was magnificent. The brick front of the 4-bedroom, 4.5-bath, and 4,657 square feet 2-car garage house was very impressive. So, you know, these days and times, we know we like themes. So since she was a scientist, she had this kind of house. Okay. Is this what Rupa left the group for? A huge, unproductive, cold-feeling, materialistic monolith that can neither go anywhere nor do anything when the new light comes into view? Hopefully, what's on the other side of this door made her switch courses dutifully and was well worth the change for her sake. Solemnly, they walked up to the door and rang the bell. As the lock spun around and the silver-finished doorknob turned, Femi held her breath, thinking how much Rupa would be surprised to see them. But this was not the case. To their surprise, a small girl child stood before them, glued to Zuri's glaze and excited eyes. Okay, Sister Bev, you still there?
Uh-huh, yes. I was muted. That's it?
No. I was getting a call, and I didn't know if you heard that or not, and I didn't know if it cut us off.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, great. Okay, so to their surprise, a small girl child stood before them, glued to Zuri's glazed and excited eyes. Once he laid eyes upon this muscular tiny tot, his heart sank. She was very articulate as she asked, "Can I help you?" Is your mother okay about you answering the door to strangers? You're not strangers. I know you. My grandmother told us all about you. You're Femi and you're Zuri. Won't you come in? This was no surprise for Femi. They knew at that moment Rupa taught them well. As they walked in, there was not much in the house, only a few pieces scattered here and there. Rupa knew nothing material could follow them, so the home was used for shelter only. Walking around and observing the pictures on the bookcase, a familiar voice spoke out and said, "Femi, it seems like only yesterday you were warning me about the sleep. Now here you are and looking as beautiful as the last time I saw you those many months ago." "Zuri, how are you?" asked Rupa. "I'm happy, happy to know that soon it'll be all over." Femi walked over and hugged her, saying, "I came here to ask you to think about the second chance the creators have given you, to take this knowledge you have so strongly within you and come with us, you and your family, because I know that you have taught them what you know. Your star seed, who allowed us in, is strong-willed. Your children are a force within themselves. Don't lose it all here, stuck in this paradigm with the sinister, wasting away in his mire. Come with us back to the motherland, or at least leave the northern parts of Amexum. It will be safer south of the line. This is where the chosen will be, learning and fending for themselves without the assistance of this reprehensible government choking at your throat. There you can be free and unharmed by them. I am only educating you out of millions of others. They will know the consequences when I meet with their leaders across the world. The people will be right along with them, listening to my every word. I purposely came for you ahead of time because you helped me in my time of need. You could have physically lost your life, but I am coming to save it once again. Won't you come with me?" Rupa stood in silence as Femi talked to her, thinking, meditating, listening. Just as she was about to verbally give her thoughts to her, they were interrupted by two adult voices. Excuse me, Sister Bev. I got a cough, so hold on.
Okay. The call-in number is 323-642-1586. If you have a question, you would like to talk to the author of the chemistry series, Sister Seta Aset, you can call in and ask any questions. She wrote these books back in 2010, 11, somewhere up in there, and I just see a lot of correlations between what she's writing, what she wrote in her book, and really what's going on now. So, it kind of puts you in the mind of the Matrix series that was out. So, you know, I just feel like that it was really a spiritual energy here when she was writing her book. So you can call if you have any questions. Other than that, you can enjoy. It's not a lot of times that you can get the author to read the book to you. And you also can get a signed autograph of her books, too. So, and the information is on the tape when we first came on. Sister Seta, are you there?
Yes, I'm back, Sister Bev. You know, you get that little tickle in your throat. It just runs you crazy. But anyway, I'm back. Okay. I stopped at, we'll start right here. Rupa stood in silence as Femi talked to her, thinking, meditating, listening. Just as she was about to verbally give her thoughts to her, they were interrupted by two adult voices. "Mom, are you going to introduce your guests? They are the ones who saved me. Femi, Zuri, this is my son, Jotham, and my daughter, Micaiah." "How do you do?" said Micaiah. "We are happy to meet you," said Femi. "I am trying to educate your mother to come with us to get you all out of harm's way. Your mother was instrumental in helping me find my father, and I want to give back the love she showed me. We want you to move south of the 33-degree parallel, for in the coming weeks, things will develop with an uneasiness that will shock the entire planet. It is our doing, like the sleep that came over the world," added Zuri. "Mother, these are the bringers of peace upon the planet?" asked Jotham. "Yes. How can we not refuse to do what they say? We need to go. Each and every day I have noticed that when I come in from work, I feel I'm being watched from beyond the trees in the forest on the side of this house. Someone is following me. I'm feeling the same thing. I took Nariah out of school and continued with her education here at home. I didn't feel it safe to leave her there. Mom, is it because of what you went through with her? We have to go where it's safe for Nariah." Rupa knew that this period of her life was ending, that the familiar had to change if she really wanted to survive this ungracious government. She turned to Femi and said, "Give us a few moments to pack what we're going to need. You were right the first time we talked, but can't you see why I had to come home? I had to be here with them." So, you know, when they were in Africa and Rupa told her she couldn't leave her family, she had to go home because if something happened, then her children and her grandchild would be by themselves. So she couldn't just up and leave them. So this is why she came home. Okay. "I understand everything, Rupa. This is why I told you to go. I saw the look on their faces when you walked through the door months ago. They were positively elated to see their mother. Now you all will be safe and together. And this is what pleased me the most. You have a kind heart, Rupa. You deserve more." So basically, Femi was telling her she saw when she got home. You know, she has that power to, you know, see things. She can just look and see any place in the world she wanted. So she was keeping eyes on Rupa. Okay. "It's kind of you to say that, Femi. In the beginning, I did not see it that way. My intentions were diabolical at the start, thanks to the president at that time. He wanted all power for himself and the Drays. But something in my heart told me it wasn't right. It just wasn't fair to do this to you and your family. So I had a change of heart and went against the grain and found myself on the other side of evil. Can you forgive me? I am confessing in front of my children and my soul." So what Rupa told Femi is that she had diabolical intentions in the beginning to try and trick her to get that scepter to give it to the president at the time. But she knew in herself that that wasn't right. So she's asking for Femi's forgiveness now. Femi knew all along. Right, right. And she was doing what he told her to do, but she changed. And that's why, you know, they scooped her up from the airport and took her to the, you know, made her talk to the president and, you know, and everything. Rupa went through that, you know, they picked her up in those black trucks, but, and they're still watching her because the son and the daughter just said they wasn't feeling good about being there because they feel like they're being watched. Mm-hmm. So you know, they're wanting to go now. Okay, so Femi knew all along what her intentions were, but never revealed them. So Femi knew what she was doing. She forgave her. They began to pack all they could in plastic totes. Once their belongings were in the rear of the truck, they were well on their way back towards the south, leaving the cold, disparaging area behind in the looking glass. Okay, Sister Pam. There you go.
Well, I'm surprised.
That was
I'm surprised. 71. I'm surprised they didn't keep her under 24-hour watch, you know, if they was watching.
Well, maybe that's what they were telling their mother. They wasn't feeling good because Jotham said when he come home from work or whatever, he felt like he was being watched in the woods beside mm-hmm. their house. And, you know, then the daughter said she had to take the child out of school because she felt she wasn't feeling good about that. And so she just educated the child at home. So they were telling their mom, somebody's watching us still.
So they should know that Simi and her husband is there then.
Yeah, they came there to get them. Yeah. So,
I'm talking about
you
the
know,
people
they're ready.
Watching them.
Oh. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see.
Okay. And we still had time. We got time for another. Because you made your chapters short. I was so used to your longer chapters in the other books. And these chapters are really short here.
Yeah, and everybody can get them. Just go ahead. If you want to, on the other two books, if you want to listen to it, you know, get the ones that strings the two that you can, you know, want to listen to. And then these are shorter, so you can get through them
mm-hmm.
quicker. You don't have to get the streaming
okay.
for these.
Okay.
So here we go. Part 70, The South Will Rise Again. And it's a song called, Oh, Blackwater, I keep on rolling. Mississippi Moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Okay, so I haven't heard that in a very long time, said Jotham. Is that where we're heading? Asked Micaiah. Because if it is, we may as well turn back now. You know how those people down there feel about us. We'll never be free and make it out of the struggle. Well, that's the point, Micaiah. You have to learn to ignore the stupidity one has for you and know that in reality, he hates himself. We all have to learn how to control our thoughts, our minds, and our actions to overcome and conquer the ones who hate you. When we arrive, there will be people like me there to teach you everything you need to know, said Femi. Rupa asked, why Mississippi? It is in a strategic location that our ancestors left for us. As you well know, Rupa, they left pyramids. The pyramids are the mounds. Not only did they live in them, those were ships that they didn't quite have time to build and adequately posed to operate in time before others showed up. But the ones down in Mexico, those were universally ready to make the jump. I studied the mounds, but not to this point. This is very deep. Why didn't they leave? Same reason why all the pyramids are still here. The humans, Tamahus, would never understand why we would just up and leave them. They had become too independent on us, and we had too much of a soft spot in our hearts to go. Now they have become out of hand, feeding off our energies, living off the labor of their true fathers and mothers, killing, maiming, and murdering. This is not what we're supposed to do. This is not what they were supposed to do. Not to mention they have gotten themselves in bed with the Dracons, who taught them all the evil they know, how to kill and hate, is embedded within, and it cannot be changed unless we finally put a stop to it. I have eye watchers strategically all over the lower 33-degree parallel. You will be quite safe. Believe me, they don't want to mess with them. They are a whole other breed. Femi, why did you choose the southern area of the country? Why not in the north, where we had the most freedom from what I call southern sanctimonious hospitality? Asked Jotham. Our body makeup can withstand any temperature, but it was created in the hottest of conditions. Soon you will know why we have to be here in this part of the world. We are spread all across the globe under the 33. Once it's over, you are going to be glad you came. With the child in tow, Femi thought it best to stop and rest until the next morning. Bright and very early, Zuri and Femi, who had already been up with Saul, waited in the truck for the Ocelos family to appear from their motel rooms. Zuri lent a hand to Jotham to assist him in placing their belongings in the rear of the vehicle. Suggesting they find a place to dine, Femi advised the family to wait until they drove into Chattanooga, Tennessee. That would be the safest place at the moment to find some people who resembled them for their nourishment. As luck would have it, there was an outdoor market that was owned by a gentle, elderly, melanated couple that was ironically still in business. So then, at that time, hardly any of us was in business because the country was in a total disaster after that sleep. But anyway, let's go on. They had a choice of vegetables, fruits, nuts, and drinks. After their purchases, the couple related to them that the government permitted them to grow their own food only if they would sacrifice 3/4 of their earnings in the name of taxes. They had no other income but their market. It was downright slave labor. Femi suggested they pack everything and come with her, for she had seen similar evidence in Louisiana. That would have been a beautiful thing, said the elderly gent, but with age and frailty, a new life would be futile for him and his wife. As sad as her heart felt, she showed no emotion, for she understood his logic all too well. Fast approaching the state line of Mississippi, Zuri noted to Rupa that this was where he and Femi ran into a bit of trouble with a martial law officer. He also added that if things seemed distorted or if the officer uttered words that don't fit the description of the conversation, do not give any energy and don't be afraid. The cars and trucks were lined up 3 miles back before Zuri had his turn to speak to an officer. Unfortunately, he did not receive the same officer as before. This officer was worse than the one he encountered in the beginning. I need your registration, all of your IDs, and I need to check the back of your truck, inside and out, she said in a malicious tone. No problem, he replied. Zuri collected all the IDs. Femi handed him the papers on the vehicle. They all stepped out and onto the side of the pavement where two other lawmen joined the female. As Rupa and her family watched them tear apart their belongings, for the life of her, she couldn't understand why these people did what they did. She spoke up and said, may I ask why is everyone being searched? I'd like to know if you don't mind telling me. Ma'am, I do mind, and it's no concern of yours what we're doing here. You of all people must understand that what we have gone through the last few days should give you a hint of who the country is looking for. Oh, I see. You're looking for that couple that caused all this chaos, said Rupa, as she turned towards Femi. When the search was over, she returned the papers and the IDs to Zuri and said, You're free to go, Mr. Grant. Please make sure you and your family is extra careful. The Negroes are acting up something awful. They are angry that they are being settled into camps. We have to place a few of our own there, too. We can't catch them all, but I can't wait until the day comes when we can. It'll be much safer then. Zuri had no response to her statement as he drove off. Rupa wondered why she called him Mr. Grant. Femi turned to say, Our ID showed us as being Caucasian, and we all looked the part to her. That's why. Oh, you have the power to shapeshift us too? Asked Jotham. We didn't have shapeshift. We didn't shapeshift this time. We just changed colors. The last names on your IDs were Grant, and that's what she saw, replied Zuri. The setting of the sun in its entire golden splendor cast a glow of warmth on the faces of the passengers as they made their way to their final destination of Natchez, Mississippi, where the powerful eye watcher, Africa, was waiting. This was the strategic location that Femi chose for him to direct all his energies to the other 332 eye watchers. From this location, Africa will have the power of the pyramid mounds in the entire country, plus Mexico, to help with the barrier. These pyramids will become activated when Femi sends out the call. It will cover the entire Sudan region and its people from terror. Rupa, this will be the safest place for you and your family. It's different now, and you will have so much to learn that you wouldn't have time for anything else. These are gruesome times we're living in, and we have to be standing in our square if we want to get out of here and off this rock. Believe me, if it were any easier, I'd be the first to tell you, but it's not. The good thing to know is it will not last too long, for the sinister will not be able to handle what's coming his way, stated Femi. Zuri drove up to the temple where Africa and a few members of the Eye Watchers were present. No one opened the doors, for the doors opened themselves to greet them. Welcome back. I see we have company. Yes, Brother Africa. I brought back a friend who was never my enemy, just an inquisitor. I want her and her family to learn from you as we learn from the Dogon. And the little one, she is special. Teach her well. I will return after the call. Rupa turned to Femi, locked her hands into hers, and said, I trust in everything you say. To think you'd come all that way to salvage what little strength I had left in me before and after the sleep. Just knowing what was going to befall man and his kind weighed heavy on my heart and soul. To know I could have been saved to leave this planet and not my family, who was hell to deal with. But I get it now. We get it. And we're going to do all we can to get it right. You will, sister, for it is now written in the book that you can truly see the illumination of the creators. May peace be in your heart. All will be well. Okay.
All right. Ooh. And someone in the chat room was asking that, didn't Rupa want Femi's daddy? Wasn't she liking her daddy?
She was at one point. You know how you kind of be smitten in the beginning? You know, but you know that, you know, then nothing could come of it. But, yeah, she did kind of took a little smitten to him at first. Yeah,
because
that was back on.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's still at the mountain. He's still at the mountains of the moon. You know, she told them, you know, she wanted all the older people and the children to stay at the mountain of the moon where the ships are and just wait there until she, you know, get it together over here on this part of the earth. So he's there with his wife, with Ayira, Femi's mother.
Okay.
And Zuri's mother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why Ruby didn't pursue it, because he was married.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because Femi told her, you know, you might have had his picture or whatever, whatever, but, you know, my dad, you know, you can just forget that. That's not going to happen. You know, so, no. So she just accepted that. But, you know, you're going to find out a lot about Rupa and her family. It's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is not the end of knowing who she is, who she really is.
So she's not working with the government anymore? She
no.
was there. Wasn't she the scientist or the archaeologist or something?
Yeah, she came there knowing more than the scientists that had been there for a couple of years. And when she came, mm-hmm. she knew more than they did. She, you know, she used up all those legal pads writing down, you know, things on that ship. She deciphered, you know, what those marking was on it with the little baby, and it looked like a drawing of people, like stick people
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know. And she deciphered
right.
all that. And come to find out, those ships were there for Ayira and Femi. They knew this was coming. Even the Dogons knew it was coming. That's why they kidnapped, per se, Ayira and got her ready for, you know, for Femi's coming. You know, they stole her from the pool and took her back. She didn't know she was gone.
Right.
You know, so, you know, when her husband told her to stay in that hotel room, and she didn't, and like a knucklehead, she went down there anyway and got jacked up. So, and they prepared her for Femi's coming. That's what that was all about. And Rupa knew that too. Well, she didn't exactly know about the Dogon, but she knew it had something to do with his wife, because she told him.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this, you know, because she stood out there, and he was already out there patrolling, and she came out there, and she was so full of what she knew that she had to tell somebody. And she figured he was the one she could tell that would not tell what she said, because if any of it got out, you know, then the president, you know, that it would be a big thing. So she could trust him. And the reason why she could trust him is because it was about him too. But
right.
he told her she was crazy. This mess you're talking about is crazy. Well, you know, they have you in a psychiatric ward thinking like that.
Right. So what happened to the general that liked it, Femi's mother, and didn't like her dad?
Oh, Garvin. He's still there too. He's coming up. He's got a spot, and he's still active.
So
he's still active.
When
you
Femi
know,
put mm-hmm. when Femi put everybody to sleep, did she put the president and the general, did they go to sleep too, or this was just for the people?
The entire world. The entire world was put to sleep, except for the Dracons, because they have their ships and things under the water. Right now they're in the ocean.
Okay.
You know. Now, I can't say for sure that the Dracons that walk the earth, you know, because there's some in disguise that look like us, but you will never
mm-hmm.
know who they are. So I think they may have went to sleep as well, but the ones that are in the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, down there ready for invasion, I don't think she put them to sleep. Of course, she knows that they're down there, but I don't think she put them to sleep. But the ones atop on the land, she put to sleep. But yeah, the whole world was knocked out.
Mm.
Everything.
Mm. And how long was this for?
It was just a few minutes for the creators to tell her to stop. You know, stop, don't do it. You know, I mean, she did it, and they was about to get on the ship. But but they told her, stop, you know, we're going to give him another chance. I mean, you know, now Zuri didn't go to sleep because he was there with her. And it was like when she was told to stop and she was looking up at the sun and she was just standing there looking, she was motionless. It was like she, like time stopped with her, just everything stopped. And he was looking at her and he was like, she's like in a trance or something. And she's looking and he didn't know what was going on with her. And then I say no more than just long enough for them to give her the instructions on what she's doing now, which is about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, you know. And then she came out of the trance, and he kind of figured she, you know, she was talking to somebody. Somebody was talking to her. And then she said, told him, hey, I got to wake these people up. I was told, you know, that I got to wake them up, you know, give them another try. So I'd say no more than 15.
Okay. So her mission was to gather certain people and put them on a spaceship, and they were supposed to leave off the planet.
Okay. Because right now to this day, they know that's why they're trying to figure out a place to go. Even they're trying to get to Mars, they try to get to Venus, they trying to, they're making up all these planets. I'm talking about what's going on right now today with the little space force and all this, because Sister Bev, we got plants blooming out here now. We got trees that are blooming out. And this is what, the middle of January? We've got trees blooming down here. And they're just as pretty. We got people, I swim every day. And there are people in my swim club that's saying that they've got flowers and things that are blooming. So this tells me that whatever it is, the planet's getting hotter and they can't stop this. That's why you see a lot of chemtrails going on. They can't stop this. They can't stop. And I wouldn't even say seasons anymore. There's no such thing as seasons anymore. It's just every day. You just go from day to day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they say global warming that's going on here. Because even in the north, we haven't had any winter yet. We had snow flurries, but we haven't had any real heavy snow. And the weather has not been zero or anything like that. So it's been pretty warm for a winter in the north also.
Well, Sister Bev, it's been in the 60s and 70s down here. And today really felt like March because I felt like it was March winds. You know how the March winds come in right before the trees begin to bloom for Easter, for the spring. It feels exactly like this down here. So it's indeed global warming, but it's nothing that they can do about it because Mother Earth and nature is just going through a transition like it always has. The 26,000 years is up for it to be, you know, regular the way it was. It's changing now. It's going through a change, and they can't stop it. That's why they feel like that they got to get off this planet, because they know what's coming.
Okay.
They're not going to be able to take it, because you think last summer was hot. I think this summer is going to be very toasty all these volcanoes going.
Yeah, you had a lot of 100-degree weather down there, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. And, you know, the construction areas and things that we have down here, they had all brothers out there. They didn't have, there hardly were any pale people out there. They did not have not a one because they couldn't take the heat.
Okay.
So now that it's cooled off, you don't see any brothers out here much. It's all, you know, it's mostly all them now. It's something else. And you know, when Femi says she's going to put these sun, let me stop. But go ahead.
Okay. Well,
I can't give it away.
We'll wait till next week. And we have 2 minutes left, so let the people know how they can get your book.
Okay, again, you can go to chemistryfiles.com. That's chemistry with a K, K-E-M-E-T-S-T-R-Y, files.com. And on that website, you can go and there's a link to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's all on there. And you can also go to gumroad.com and stream the first novel, Bright Light. And you can go to Amazon, of course, get it in paperback and Kindle.
Okay, Sister Setta, we thank you again for joining us every Thursday. We here at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and for sharing your books, your creation with us. And can't wait to see them on the big screen. So we appreciate you taking your time. I know. So we appreciate you sharing your creation with us. And
well,
look
I appreciate
forward
you, Sister Beverly, for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. As
thank,
always.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Much love. And everyone, join me tomorrow. I'll be back with Tutmos and the Round Table and talk to you tomorrow.